sing it out with joyful voice. He is risen, Christ is risen. Let the whole wide earth rejoice. Death is conquered, we are free. Christ the reigns triumphantly. He is risen, Christ is risen. Christ has won the victory. He is risen, Christ is risen, risen to a holy state.
He is risen, Christ is risen,
He has opened heaven's gate. Now the stone is rolled away. Jesus lives a glorious day. He is risen. Christ is risen. Christ has won the victory.
Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into the throne of grace in the name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus. We know that he paid the price, but he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And in celebration of that interceding, we have the advantage of praying. Praying for ourselves, praying for others, praying for the ministry. And so, Father, this Sunday, again, we open the doors at Morin Hill here in Bethel to glorify your name, to learn the truth of God's word in a spiritual way, and then to be built in our strength and confidence in a mighty God. We pray for those who do not know the truth, that may be familiar with the Bible. Maybe the name of Jesus is familiar to them, but they do not know what the scripture said about Jesus and what is our responsibility before Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that as we worship you today in a spirit and in truth, such a soul may come to know that there is a Savior full of love and compassion, that there is a Savior who is able to save. And then, Lord, as we learn today in the lesson in Acts 16 in Sunday school, as we learn that there was a lady by the name Lydia, which you opened her heart, we pray that in your mercy you will open the heart of someone today. Whether here in the auditorium or there in the radio or in the internet, CD ministry or tape ministry, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, but that you open that heart so that such a one may understand you and believe in you. Father, we pray for those who need help in their health, for Jerry West in Costa Rica, and who is on a period of 6 months waiting to see how the body react and improve. For Ann Pareto, for his strength after the departure of her husband. For our wonderful lady, Loretta Forrest, who is in bed because of cancer, but her spirit is way up in heaven. She is just a jewel in the hands of a mighty God, and we praise your name for her. Father, I pray for my good friend John Heidnes and his wife Isabel, who are now in Costa Rica, and they are there to have a project and going to the city of Pinilla and start in a Spanish church in the area with a missionary from San Jose, Costa Rica. And I pray that their project will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, so many will come to know you in that beautiful country. Lord, we have many college students. Some of them are here, and some of them are very busy in their college doing the final steps of this year. And so we pray, Father, that you gave them patience, they gave them hope, and gave them the strength to continue and to finish. And Lord, we do have missionaries because we believe that we are here to broadcast the word so others may believe. And so we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, as Fred is in the recovery stage and he's going to come next month and preach to us. Carol and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, and our brother is coming on June. Thank you, Lord, that you send him in our way, who are in Guatemala and Central America. Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, with the Drug Addict Center. Salt Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose. And Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministries. And Daniel is in Long Beach, Lord, for this week, finishing today on the final race as a chaplain. And so, Father, we pray that you bless him, you cover him with your grace as he flies home this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to minister. And we are excited that you opened the doors of many homes for us to be there through radio and through internet. And we are grateful for that. But Father, we also are grateful for your people who are faithful in giving and supporting the ministry and the cares that comes and the cost that comes as we minister here and overseas. So thank you, Father, for the offering, and thank you for the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
singing his praises in his path. The currents and branches are great. He is the King of the ages, majestic procession beyond all compare, exalted and lifted on high. The praises of earth and can ring in the air, and heaven cried out in reply, Hosanna, Hosanna, for blessed is he who comes. Hosanna, is Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord.
In our spirits,
a heavenly presence that shines from above, presented for all now to see. The true King of glory and heavenly love among us forever shall be. Hosanna, Hosanna, for blessed is he who comes. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna, for blessed is he who comes. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna, we sing.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 708. We will be reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more awareness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this wonderful good news we have just read, and we thank you for the great gift of faith that you have been merciful, Father, in giving this gift of faith to us, that we can know without doubt that these words are true indeed. We can now see how history recorded in the Old Covenant made the advent of the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ necessary, and we marvel that that new covenant was sealed with his own blood. We thank you for such a great salvation. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We pray that you would continue to bless him with the passion to preach the word. Give us understanding that we might also appreciate and study this treasure that is the scriptures and come to know you more and more. We pray for all those listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD that they will also come to a greater knowledge of who you are and the great person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And I don't know if you've been listening to our television, but Easter is our coming Sunday. And they try in a media style to portray the Lord Jesus. I just listened a little bit on the titles and in their propositions. And comes a variety of opinions. A very scientific professor of Stanford declares in CNN that Jesus actually had a baby with Mary Magdalene, and that was his forgiveness and so on. And that he took care of her with great responsibility. And ABC, they portrayed the Lord Jesus from the philosophical perspective, and they said there was not a contender to his mind because he was a brilliant mind. Now, usually when the media talks, they give you all the records, you know, and you go speaking officially. Like when I go on a Bible conference on, somebody come before and say, oh, this man is studying this place and studying the other. I hate that things because that takes away Jesus from the people. I just want to speak with Jesus in mind and not with me in mind. But they credit Jesus a tremendous philosophical approach that the Greeks, neither the Greeks nor the Romans, were able to contest. And that's why the Romans were so in his favor. And so they come to the conclusion, amazing enough, scientifically, they said that they know just little about Jesus. By that time, I had to turn off the television because I'm boiling inside me. Because our brother have read the passage in Hebrews chapter 10. If you turn over there your Bible to page 708. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 7, there is a clear, final explanation where you can learn everything you want to know about Jesus. It is not in a book of philosophy. It is not in the book of science per se, even though this Bible is a scientific book, it's a compound of grammatical expressions and perfection. But look at what Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7 said. Then I said, this is a quotation from a psalm, behold, I have come to do your will. This is Jesus speaking prophetically in the Psalm 40. He said, I have come to do your will, O God. And then the will was already written. And look at where. The Bible says, as it is written of me in the book. Some Bible said in the scroll. If I had to translate it with a Greek word, the Greek word over there, it was written of me in the head. Kephale, in the head. So a head in Greek, a head book is a master book. All right? And so I will say that the scripture said, if you want to know about Jesus, if you really want to know about Jesus, you better get the master book, which is the Bible, all right? There is no book equal to this, and there never will be. So you have to get this. And I'm going to get this microphone out of my... I'm too excited today when I talk about the scriptures. Jesus, I know this is going to blow, so I want to do the switch, all right? If you silent one and open the other, they have in my lapel will be better. Ah, they fail. Okay, you talk to them. All right, now here it is. Jesus. You can know anything you want to about Jesus. You know how God is. He doesn't hide things. Remember David when he sinned? God told us. He looked at women like You do? And he said, oh, I like it. And he got the money. He said, I want it. And so he engineered everything. And he got it. And the Bible never, never uncovered this. You remember Hosea? He said, your wife is a prostitute. And keep cool, Hosea, because I'm going to use that as a teaching tool. So God doesn't lie, doesn't fix anything here. He tell you like it is. And so I want to know with you today, what does the Bible really say about Jesus? And you know, I have 25 minutes. If I have 5 hours, I can really give you some explanations. But here I give you a summary of what you need to know about Jesus. You can learn the rest as you read the Bible, but you need to know something about Jesus. So there are three things I want to share with you. First and most, Jesus is our high priest. Now, just simply this. A prophet speaks from God to the people. You have it all in the Old Testament. And if you want to use the word prophet in the New Testament, when our brother read the scripture, he was a prophet. He was telling you what God said. I'm not a prophet because I cannot, it's already written. I cannot create new words. The Bible is closed. And so a prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God to the people. A priest is someone who speaks from the people, on behalf of the people, to God. Now, look what the Bible says about Jesus. Turn your Bible to Exodus, the second book of the Bible, page 54. Exodus, chapter 28, verse 1 and verse 3. Exodus, chapter 28, verse 1 and verse 3. Until this point, God talked eye to eye with Israel. But they sin. Each time we sin, we lose privilege with God. And now God said, because these people disobey me, and because these people have a lot of imaginations, I'm going to speak through somebody. That's the priest. So, chapter 28, verse 1 of Exodus. Now take Aaron, God is speaking to Moses, your brother, and his son with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister or serve to me as a priest. Aaron and Aaron's son, Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar. Now look at verse 3. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And so the office of priesthood was initiated by God, so that God hold his wrath against this disobedience of people, and deal through a mediator, if you want to use that word, which is called a priest in the Bible. And the first mediator priest was Aaron, a remarkable picture that he will intercede for God's people and pray for God's people and ask forgiveness for God's people. But Aaron died. And then came another high priest, and he died. And then came another high priest. So that's why some religions, they have a high priest called the Pope. And he died, and then they need another one. And then he died, and he need another one. Are we in the Old Testament, or are we in the New Testament? Look at that cross. Where are you? Behind the cross or in front of the cross? God has provided for us a permanent high priest. Look at. Go to Hebrews again. Chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. And verse 14 and 15. Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 15, which are in page 705. If you are in the Bible here in church. The book of Hebrews, who explained many books of the Old Testament said this, seeing that then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I want you to look again to this word in verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest. You know how you say great in Greek? You say mega. You know, you have a mega center. A mega superstar means cannot be another one bigger as that. When God finished the earth, he said there was good. It was a mega good. God said, this is very good. When some of my students finished without any mistakes in my test, 120 in Greek, I said, mega, mega to you. Means great, great, great. All right? And I said, each time, who knows where they are? They're in some jail, someplace. These students said, the day you get off, just call me because I put you 100 today. And I got some calls from people who got out of the jail and said, thank you for teaching me something. Mega. He's not just a high priest who come and go and die. He's a mega high priest. And look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted or tried as we are, yet without sin. Now, the fellow in CNN who said that Jesus has a baby out of wedlock with Mary Magdalene had not read this, see? And that's why he made the mistake. I have compassion for him because he thinks he's a great scientific man, maybe in his field, but not in the field of understanding God. See, Jesus was on this earth. And as we study in the evening in the book of Revelation, when he comes back to earth, he's not the same person. They can kick him back and forth. He's the King of Kings and the glory of glory. But when he was here on this earth, had no place to be born. I remember when my first granddaughter was to be born. I got Danny in a room and I said, Danny, you going to have a baby? You need to have a house. They don't have a house. I said, what? Well, Papa is going to be. We're going to get a house. We're going to get that room. Fix it. And when we knew there was a girl, man, I was excited. And he was excited. And we prepared a gorgeous place with the possibilities that we have to get Miriam a house and a place so that baby can be placed over there. And I remember Danny, the house has a wood floor and Danny sand the floors and shiny, you know, there was an excitement. The baby is going to be born. When Jesus was born, the King of Kings, there was no place on this earth. But he is the mega high priest. The mega high priest. And he was born as a man. He suffered. He knows what is to go without food. Remember, he said, I'm thirsty. He knows what he cried for his sentiments. But he was without sin, pure as can be. So the Bible teaches that Jesus is our mega high priest. Now, I'm going to show you some scriptures that apply these to us. Go to the book of Ephesians 5:20, page 690. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. If you go to a restaurant, sometimes when you go to a restaurant, and one time I saw Mayor Brown in Oakland when I was in the radio, and then I went to the Hilton there to eat. So Mayor Brown and somebody else, and the other person was with him, he bowed his head and prayed. Raquel and I bowed our head and prayed, and they both came to our table. Now, before food, do you think, some people said, why do you pray? So I asked them, what do you think of this? It's a formula, he said, so the food is no bad to you. No, 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 they had no idea. They will have compassion on unbelievers. They had no idea of God. Look at chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our mega high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. You got it? You give thanks in the name of Jesus. This is not a magic formula. It's saying, God, I cannot reach you, but I reach you through the Lord Jesus. I'm going to participate of this food, this banquet, or whatever. And God, we are thankful. And I know, Father, you are holy, holy. And until my body changes to holy as you are, I know I cannot reach you. But in the name of my mega high priest, let him take my prayer and go to your presence. God, I'm thankful. Wow. See, a mega high priest. You don't need to pray in the name of we say in Spanish, muñecos, an icon or whatever, in the world. This is not a mega. The mega is Jesus. Not fantastic? Ephesians 5:20. Look at, there is a verse who say it very clearly. Romans 8 and verse 34. I don't like the page, but it's number 666. Romans 8 and verse 34. All right, and you will see what the book of Romans really says. Romans 8 and 34. If I can get my Bible there. Here it is. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make what? Intercession for us. So here it is. Who is Jesus Christ? He is our mega high priest. Our mega high priest. He intercedes for me, a sinner. For me, a sinner. Doesn't matter if you are rich or you are poor. Doesn't matter if you are American or Mexican. Doesn't matter if you are legal or illegal in the country. He intercedes for you. You understand? You got a mega high priest and you have done nothing to it. You have no pay anything. You are still guilty in your sins and he is willing to intercede for you. It's not that fantastic. That's why Christians were smiling. It's not because we have legal papers and we make a lot of money. No, we are smiling because we have been forgiven by God through these high priests. Doesn't matter if you are young or old like me. No. God is consistent. He never changed his mind. I remember when they wanted to get me to believe. I was 12, 13, 14. I remember I was an argumentative child. And my mother would say, you have to believe. And after you believe, then you are saved. Say, what? What? No, no. What about if God repented? No, God hasn't repented. You read Malachi 3:6. I am Jehovah. And I change not. Thank God. Thank God. So Jesus is a high priest. What else the Bible teaches? Well, you hear the word Kippur now a lot because Easter is coming and also the Passover for the Jewish people. And you know what Kippur means? It means atonement. Is that right? You know the Hebrew. Kippur means atonement. All right. He is our Kippur. He is our atonement. We had some Jewish people in the coffee shop, and he said, do you celebrate Kippur? Yes, sir. He said, how do you celebrate it? Do you bring the lamb? No, already have been brought, slain, and raised up. And they really can understand that. What do you mean, raised up? You know, we kill the lamb, and the lamb move on. And they, what do you mean, move on? You know, they don't understand. Kippur. Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 30. In verse 10, page 56. Exodus chapter 30 in verse 10. Look what the Bible says. And Aaron, remember he was a high priest, shall make atonement, that's the word Kippur, upon his horns once a year. Got that word? Underline that word. Once a year. With the blood of the sin's offering of atonement, Once a year he shall make atonement upon it through your generation. It is most holy to the Lord. You know how Israel was justified before God? The congregation, the nation of Israel, had to come to the tabernacle and bring a lamb. The lamb was slain, the blood was placed, and the blood need to be brought into the holy place once a year to the high priest to be forgiven. That was Israel's way of having peace with God. They need a Kippur. They need an atonement. They need somebody who replaced them. You know, the word Kippur means reconciliation in Hebrew. It means I'm back and one with God. You know, you guys, when you do some boo-boos and you are old with your wife, you go and buy flowers. Say, darling, I love you. And you make reconciliation with her, okay? And that's what it is. Reconciliation. And this is oneness together. Go now to almost the end of the Bible. 1 John 2:2, page 717. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, page 717. An atonement. And look at what the Bible says. And he himself is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. He's talking to the Jewish people of his time. But thank God to the next sentence. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. I mean, as the world develops and as the world move on and on and on, there is no other way to be right with God, only Jesus. Wow. He is our propitiation. He is an atonement. He is the only. It is no religion, people. It is no science. It is the person of Jesus. As we offer him, then he is our propitiation. Go with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, page 664. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, page 664. Look at what the Bible says. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received what? Hear the word Kippur. Reconciliation. We are reconciled to God, not by something I have done, nor by a present I bring to it, but by the mega priest. He is the reconciliation. You know, I still remember, we were about 70 kilometers from the Basilica of Luján. Basilica of Luján was the most gorgeous building built with the architecture of the Germans at 70 kilometers of Buenos Aires. And once a year, the Roman Catholic Church asked those people to go and bike to reconcile themselves with God and go those 70 kilometers, in Buenos Aires is flat, so it's easy to go, 70 kilometers to the Virgin and bring a ring and gold and things like this, so that you do something to reconcile with God through the Virgin who was dead. And people do it. And I stood on the highway looking to them, saying, hi, I feel sorry for them. One time I was crying, I was about 11 years old. I knew nothing about God, but I knew they were wrong. Somewhere, God, one guy even stopped the bike and said, young man, you need help? No, I said, you need help. You are worshiping a dead person. We have reconciliation with him. We have Kippur, Yom Kippur, the real oneness with God through him. 2,000 years ago and today. Now, what's the key in this? What's the lesson? The lesson is in Hebrews 10:10. When you go to Hebrews 10:10, it's in page 708. Hebrews 10, what our brother read, at the very end of his reading, you notice what he read. Look at what he says when he read John 10:10. By that, will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ every year? No. once for all. What that mean? That means that if I am in the other side of the cross, once a year I have to bring a lamb, and the lamb need to be opened and need to be offered. But if I'm in this side of the cross, then I have it made. Christ once for all have done the work, and I do not have to offer myself something for my sins. He did it. When we have the Lord's Supper here, we remember what he did. It's not that he'd do it again. It's just simple to read and understand, no? I can't believe it. People of science, doctors, physicists, and so on, they don't understand it. That proves to me that unless the Spirit of God touch your heart, you cannot understand it. Like we learned today with Lydia, a lady who God opens her heart, say, Acts 16. When I read that and I was in my machine, boy, I said, hey, yeah. In the life, people look to me, they think I'm listening crazy things, but I'm just listening the Bible. Moved the whole thing at 6 and 3 level. And I went on for a half hour. I thought I wanted to die after, but I tell you, I was so excited. They all have a Savior. I don't need to be saved every year. I'm saved because he is permanent, not because of me. It was of me, I had to be saved every day, every hour. My wife can tell you. Don't ask, please. Where is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's my mega high priest. He's my Yom Kippur. And then, he's the fulfillment of prophecy. You know those reporters? They spend a lot of money. I think I want to talk Camille Bound to get me a ticket someplace to Jerusalem. Because those reporters, they go door by door in Jerusalem. What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? And they collect all this information. And they said, now we're going to know what Jesus is. And the Bibles, and they get paid for that. So I think I'm going to put my name on it. Now, listen, it's right here in this book. Remember what we read? It is written of me. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. Go with me to Isaiah 7:14, page 413. Isaiah 7 and verse 14, page 413. The Bible says in Isaiah, in chapter 7 and in verse 14, a prophecy. And look at what the prophecy says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. That means to the Jewish people. Guys, hear this. Isaiah 7:14. I give you a sign. And here's the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel. But you know, El is God, man, Han in Hebrew, Han e God means God is with us. I have my hand, and that means I'm here. God is with us. That's the prophecy. And I imagine the Jewish people read it. I imagine. Read it over, and it slept over their head when they saw Jesus, and they were telling that he was the son of Mary, but not Joseph. They never referred to the prophecy. They referred to other people. They maybe went to doctors to find out, can this be possible? That some women can have a child without a man, and so on. They never went to the scripture. They asked everybody, but never to the scripture. So let's go to Matthew's gospel, chapter 1, in Matthew's gospel, page 561. Chapter 1, and I have to read for you verse 18 to 21. Matthew's chapter 1, 18 to 21. Look at what the scripture says. Now the birth, here's the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. Don't spend money on anything else. It's right here in this Bible. Matthew's 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. That clear? Was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, she was engaged to him. Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph knows this, you know. And look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, Joseph said, boy, I get this girlfriend and now she's pregnant. And where do I put this girl away? I love it, so I don't want to make any scandal. how terrible the situation is. I think it's very reasonable. Now look at verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then God adds something very strong, which a Hebrew man, boy, is tough for a Hebrew person, or is a Spanish person, that you will have a son, and the name of your son will be Know Your Name. I remember when Raquel was pregnant, that my father said, you know, if you have a male, you have to carry the name Gabriel Otero the Fifth. You know, not to Raquel. Raquel said, oh, no, he was like a lion, because, you know, that's the prestige of the family. And so in the Hebrew. But now look at verse 21, what the angel says. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, or Joshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now, is that prophecy was fulfilled in the life of Jesus? Now, also, Jesus was a prophet. Look with me in Deuteronomy 18, 18, page 129 in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. Jesus, the Savior of Israel, must be a prophet, said the scripture. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18 in your Bible, in page 129. I will raise up for them, God is speaking to Moses, a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And that is a prophecy about the prophetic office of the Lord Jesus. Now, you know where it was fulfilled. You go to John Gospel in chapter 4, page 623. John Gospel, chapter 4, page 623. John Gospel, chapter 4. And you see this in verse 19. He's talking in the well to this lady. And after talking, the women said to him, verse 19, Sir, I perceive that you are what? A prophet. So people knew that he was a prophet, as he were. Now, Jesus also is the cornerstone of Christianity. It's not Peter, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jesus. Let's go to Psalm 118, please. 118 and verse 22. Psalm 118 and verse 22, page 379, and you will see the prophecy about Jesus. Psalm 118, verse 22. The Bible says, remove from me reproach and contempt. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong psalm. Here it is. 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become, what? The chief cornerstone. The person that the people of that time rejected has become the cornerstone. In the Bible, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, page 689, and verse 20, the Bible says that he is our cornerstone. No Peter, Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. In Ephesians chapter 2, and look at what the Bible says, Ephesians 2:20. Look at what the Bible says. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. He is the center. He is the heart. He is everything we need. But today is Palm Sunday. What the Bible says about Palm Sunday? Do you know that this Palm Sunday has only one motivation? To crown him King of Kings. And the Bible explained that in Revelation 19 and in verse 6. Look at the name of Jesus according to Revelation 19 and verse 16, excuse me. Revelation 19 and verse 16. Look at what the Bible says. And he has on his robe and on his high tide a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his robe doesn't have a name, Baby Jesus. His name is King of Kings. That's what Palm Sunday was, officially signed Jesus as King of the Jews, as King of those who believe, actually. So, you see, the media have missed a great opportunity, not going to the scripture and trying to find who is Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Now, I have a great talk with two teachers of high school, science teachers, and they're proud to have a master in science, one in biology and another is in physiology. And they are teaching our kids biology and physiology without knowing where we came from. Amazing. And I asked them, how can you believe in Jesus? And they said, we can. That's correct. So what do you mean? Yeah, it's correct. You can believe in Jesus by having this book of biology and tell me that 5 million years ago, this little bone here was something else. You can have Jesus with that. I had two little fish in my home I call bird. And each time people come around, I say, have you feed the bird today? And Raquel say, yes. And people look around and say, I say it again. Do you give food to the bird this morning? And the people finally look to me. And they said, Pastor, these are fish. Oh, but in 5 million years. you understand? That sounds ridiculous, no? But that's how ridiculous is our science. How can I believe in Jesus? There are two areas of life that you need to consider. One is in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, page 509. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God, we get saved in the New Testament as well as in the New Testament the same way. You can understand this Jesus in the same way the Jew at that time need to understand their Savior. In Ezekiel 36 and in verse 26, page 509, the Bible says, God is speaking, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of a stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh that can understand. Just like Lydia this morning. God removed that stone heart from the body. The natural heart in the Bible is called the stone heart. And God gave her understanding. How this is possible today? What means would God use it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, page 714 in your Bible. It is not a matter of becoming a Roman Catholic or a Protestant or whatever. This is what it is. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, the Bible calls the experience of knowing Jesus. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through what? The Word of God, which lives and abides forever. I was very young in the 40s, but my mother told me there was an evil man on this earth. My mother was Italian, so she liked Mussolini. But she said, there is an evil man in this earth called Hitler. And he's evil because he wants to kill the Jewish people, the people of God, and he wants to take the Bible away. I remember that. My mother told me that. Tremendous. Listen. Hitler cannot take the Bible away, neither kill all the Jews. And you know why? Because the Word of God lives forever. We have physical proof to tell you. But physical proof are not the proof you need in order to know God. I love when children like me because that means I'm okay. That the children run to Jesus. the children run to Jesus. And people said, well, he accepted children. Fellow, a child is very smart and perceive who is tender or not. So these, I say hello to this child in the parking lot and told her, you are the queen of the home. Maybe she understand. And now she said, thank you. You know what I mean? I mean exactly this. Unless God has changed your heart, you cannot believe. And when you have believed, you have to say, thank you, God, that you changed my heart, that I can believe. Thank you, God. There are many here who believe. Have we all believed? Have we all believed? That's the question. Have I believed in the Lord Jesus, caused by the Word of God, not caused by an impression? I met a lot of people who say, oh, I have a dream and I believe. No, a dream cannot believe. You have to believe through the Word of God. A dream makes nobody to believe. It scares you, but not believe. I don't want you to be scared. I want you to be attentive. I want you to be alert. I want you to know that if you don't have this mega high priest, you go to hell. I want you to know if you don't have this prophet, you have no word from God. I want you to know if you don't have this Yom Kippur, the offering of the Lamb for you, then you will be slain forever in heaven. It's serious business. It's not just Palm Sunday. It's a reminder to us that the King has come and is alive. How is he alive in your life? Is he alive in your life? Is he the center of your life? Because the scripture has brought you to that remarkable relationship with God. And oneness. It is my hope that you really believe. Father, 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 we who believe are saying thank you for our Yom Kippur, who is the atonement of our life forever. Thank you, Father. And I pray that many here listening over the radio, internet, tapes, CDs later on, may come to the senses that unless we believe, we will perish forever. Oh, God, have mercy on those who believe not. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Beside a temple there, I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. Oh, Once again my dream was changed, new air there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside a tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore.
Anita, you know our church bulletin, it's a lot of paper, we're just throwing it away. There is a lapel in the church bulletin. Just cut it like this. And if you do not know Jesus, I want to visit you. Just put the phone number and your name, and I call you. I have plenty of time to talk about Jesus. If I need it, I stay in the night. But I want to visit people who do not have Jesus. Because the problems of America is not the economy, is not the debt, national debt, is the people do not know Jesus. And we are in business to let people know. But you have to come to believe. Just knowledge in the head is not enough. You need to let me know if God has opened your heart. You maybe have a lot of questions. Lydia have a lot of questions. And the Apostle Paul sit down with Silas and answer those questions. You write your name and the phone number, and when you greet me at the end and say, Pastor, call me, and we make arrangements so that I too can believe. Will you stand, please? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. That today you have given me the insight into what you are and the main basic areas of our life. Sure, you are the provider. Sure, you are the glory of God. But Father, you have sent Jesus to be my Savior, my Yom Kippur. Oh God, I pray that people may understand it. I pray that in your mercy, you will open the hearts of many. That they can talk to me and we will find out for sure how wonderful it is to believe in Christ. Thank you for the King that you have sent and will come to rescue his church and to establish his kingdom. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.